Hello, Dreadheads. We cover some pretty heavy topics here in the Asylum, and even for seasoned enthusiasts like us, researching and going down deep rabbit holes on brutal crimes and other macabre events can have an effect on your mental health. All joking aside, both Otis and I take mental health very seriously, specifically suicide, which is an issue near and dear to us both. So if you or anyone you know is dealing with depression or suicidal thoughts or actions, please, reach out to someone who can help. Sometimes just talking to a stranger, free from any judgment, can make all the difference.
You can contact the National Suicide Prevention Hotline by calling 1-800-273-TALK or 1-800-273-8255. You can also visit their website at suicidepreventionlifeline.org. Again, that's suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
Just remember that your life is more valuable than anything else, and you are not alone.
And now, enjoy the show. And welcome back to the Insane Asylum, the 9/11 Dreads podcast, episode 46. We are going to the movies. We have a full house here in the Insane Asylum. We have, of course, myself, Otis B. Dreads, and who else do we have here? Where's Happy Boy at?
Oh, here I am, SJ here, back in the Insane Asylum.
And we are also accompanied by, you know, for those who have listened to NLD Goes to the Movies, then you are obviously familiar with one of our other guests here in the Insane Asylum, Mr. Dom. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing great. Greetings, everybody.
Awesome, awesome. And then Mrs. Dreads wandered back into the padded cell.
How I
are
am
you?
Here.
How are you, Mrs. Dreads?
Yay. I'm good.
Awesome. Yeah, we're doing four movies, because obviously there's four of us, and for those who aren't familiar, how this goes is we take and each of us pick a movie, and the other poor three victims have to sit through whatever shitstorm of a movie that we pick. And this week, I think I win shitty movie of the week, because I thought the other three were good. We'll dive right into all them movies in just a minute. But, of course, we have to give out some horror love. Gorehounds of Horror on Facebook. Check them out. Open and closed group. So there's two gorehounds over there. Misfit Horror Fiend Club. They are over there on the book. And, of course, let's see what else we have. Oh, we have the Slaughterhouse. Slaughter on Wayne.
Slaughter on Garth. Man, I guess I had to do it. Somebody had to do it.
Are you questioning yourself? Is Slaughter on Garth?
A little bit. A little bit. That was a question mark on that one. Right. I got a lot of people in the Insane Asylum today.
So. Oh, you weren't sure if you were the one that's supposed to be saying it?
I didn't know if we were going to all say it at the same time or what. But oh. Yeah, I went for it.
You, oh, well, you're there. All right. Slaughterhouse on Facebook. Of course, After Dark. Over there, and one of my favorites to at least say, Zombie Boob. Everybody zombie loves a good zombie boob.
Wow.
And, of course, Cannabis Arcade, that's our non-horror group love that we give out. Cannabis spelled with a K, and, of course, 9/11 Dreads, Dreads with No A. We're over there. Facebook, we're over there on Stitcher. Can you believe last week I said that we were on Spotify?
What the fuck is wrong with you, man?
I did. I said it twice. I listened to it, and I only caught one of them the first time. And I was like, oh, maybe I didn't say that in the beginning. Went back and listened to it. Oh, I said it twice. I reinforced the fact that we were on Spotify somehow. I don't know how that happened, but no, we're on Stitcher. And, of course, nightlivingdreads.com. If you like to... Now, before we get into this, because I did make a post earlier amongst some of these horror groups out there, about, and I think it was your idea, Dom, to have maybe some listeners throw us some movies, and we'll pick out of those movies and see what, you know, some of these, some of the listeners, you know, pick for us. So I think the first one we got was Three from Hell. That was the first movie that somebody threw up on that post.
No surprise there. I mean,
no.
It's widely available to everybody now, so.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I think you probably find it, you know, on a Fire Stick. I think can you rent it or whatnot or something on like Amazon Prime or something?
From what I've seen on Amazon, yeah, you can rent it right now. It's like $5, I think.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Awesome. So, yeah, so we, if you want to throw us some suggestions, you can. Oh my goodness, it's the cops.
Yeah, that was
the gunshot.
What the hell is going on?
That was
over
the police.
There?
That's the police helicopter flying overhead in a bad neighborhood over here. Sorry guys.
Wow. You can just drop us a suggestion over there at our Facebook. You can also email us at nightofthelivingdreads@gmail.com. And let us know what movies you would like us to talk about next time we go back to the movies. Tonight, on the other hand, we have four movies of our pickings. And as always, let's just kick it off because we got four movies and a lot to talk about with these movies, I think. So we'll start off, ladies first, Mrs. Dreads. What was your pick? For NLD Goes to the Movies.
1944, The Lodger.
The Lodger.
Yeah.
1944. You picking some old ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's about Jack the Ripper. It's based on the novel by the same name by Marie Bellick. I don't even know. Lounge? Lounge Days?
Close enough.
It's a story that it had a it was previously filmed in 1927 as a silent film.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That was called The Lodger, A Story of the London Fog. And it was directed by Alfred Hitchcock.
Lots of fog in the movie, too. Even the 44 version. It's very foggy.
Yeah. Very.
And then again in with sound in 1932 as The Lodger. And then it was remade after the 1944 in 1953 as Man in the Attic.
Wow.
And then again in 2009.
My goodness.
Yeah.
A lot of remakes.
Yeah, and there's not too much information about the 2009 remake that I could find, but it's just kind of mentioned.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. But so what did you because it was kind of based, you know, it was based, you know, loosely on the Jack the Ripper story, which is an interesting case, one of the more interesting cases, unsolved murder mysteries out there. What would you think of it?
I liked it. I mean, it's he moves in with a family who is running out of room to make ends meet, and
the old man squanders some money or something.
Yeah,
is that what it was? So
he had lost a lot of money.
Yeah, so his wife, you know, opens up rooms in their house to take and you know, yeah, extra money.
But the guy who is claimed to be Jack the Ripper in the movie. He has it out for beautiful women because he feels that they are degrading and
beautiful women are degrading.
Yeah, he thinks they're the devil.
Weren't they hookers or prostitutes?
No, it was more actresses and.
Oh yeah,
stuff
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That he went after, and I liked it. I thought it was a good movie.
I thought it was pretty decent. I thought that The guy who plays, and he calls himself Slade, Mr. Slade,
yeah.
Which he got from a street sign. Go ahead, Doc.
Yeah. Or yeah.
SJ,
from a street sign. I was about to say the same thing. It's SJ. Yeah, he takes the name from a street sign he sees on the way to inquire about this dwelling he might be able to rent. And yeah, I like this movie too. I thought it was really interesting that the family that takes him in, Slade, so to speak, is just kind of so oblivious to obvious facts. The movie is set in Whitechapel, right, you know, where the actual Jack the Ripper murders happened. And they're just kind of oblivious to, okay, here's this guy. He goes out at night. He wants to take the back door out of the house. Yeah. He's kind of creepy. He stays to himself, but they're just kind of like, they always write it off. Like, no, he's just a little weird. You know, he's
sets
a mortician.
His clothes on fire.
Yeah. Right. He burns all of his clothes when he comes home every night. But that's normal. People
yeah,
do that.
It's just normal.
There can be no connection between him and these murders that were, hey, you boy, let me see that newspaper. I love that in the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
The newspaper boy. Hey, boy, give me that. Just snatch a newspaper out of their hands. And this murderer that's running, rampaging around Whitechapel has nothing to do with this lodger that we have all of a sudden. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, and the fact that, you know, he is so obviously, you know, suspicious. He's like, I like to use the back door. And he's got these really weird-looking fucking eyes and shit, and he's like,
yeah,
you'll have to pardon my schedule or whatever. He's like, I like to just walk around the streets at night, you know, for, like, no fucking reason at all, you know?
I like to look into the water and imagine the blackness of the water.
Yeah, right.
I put my hand in it and, oh, it's just something I do on the way home to unwind from whatever the fuck he's doing at work. They don't even question what kind of work it is. Oh, wasn't he like a mortician or something that? Or,
he was some kind of doctor.
Yeah, it was something in the medical field. I can't remember exactly what he said.
But he told him that he was doing experiments.
Yeah.
So it's
which is weird because
like,
at one point in the movie, Kitty follows him to work, and there's a guy there who's like, oh, yeah, that's so and so. He works here all the time.
Oh, right.
The guy that at the top of the stairs, is that the scene you're talking about where.
Kitty when he goes down into the basement. Yeah.
And that was kind of weird, too, because not only is he a doctor and, you know, supposedly a legitimate practitioner of medicine. But he also has to go downstairs to get to work, like into a dungeon. He works in this creepy underground place. And, oh, yeah, he's here every day. He says he's a doctor. He has a white coat, so.
It must be true.
Yep.
I like this movie a lot.
Go ahead, Dom.
I liked it a lot. I loved that it was, well, of course, it's black and white, but I love the, you know, the setting you see in these older movies where everything's brick, the buildings are brick and the roads are brick. And I love just the visuals of that. And then for it to have a great storyline on top of it was awesome. My thing was, like, I'm waiting when it starts and I'm like, okay, so Mr. Slade's the Ripper. I'm like, no, it's got to be somebody else. It can't be this obvious. Like, I'm looking for this swerve all the way to the point that Slade goes and goes, this is a picture of my brother. My brother was so beautiful. This is I'm like, wait a minute. Oh, no, it's him. Definitely. Like, it was so awkward about how beautiful his brother was. And I guess that's the motivation for his crimes was, what, his brother was in love with some woman and they separated or whatever happened. Something happened between them and his brother killed himself or something. And so that was his motivation there. But, like, I was writing it off like, no, this guy... They want me to think that Mr. Slade is the Ripper, but it's going to be like the old guy downstairs who's losing everything. Then he broke out that picture, and I'm like, oh, no, it's definitely him.
Yeah. That's
it took me a second to find it. Oh, go ahead.
Everybody just goes quiet.
No, that's definitely the point that you knew. But I was kind of with you on that. I was like, it can't be Mr. Slade. It can't. It was like a Scooby-Doo thing. Like, it's so obvious that they're making this guy out to be actually Jack the Ripper. I'm like, no. It can't be that obvious. But, yeah.
It was the picture of the brother.
Yeah, thing, I guess so. There wasn't many swerves in 1944 time.
We were expecting a swerve, and there was not a swerve. So
no, the M.H. Shalaman or whatever his name was did not direct.
Right. Yeah, this was a very swerveless movie. I'd have to also agree with you, Dom, because it did seem kind of weird that right from the beginning, you know, you see this guy and you're like, is it really this obvious? Are we just starting out knowing who this guy is? You know, because about 2-3 minutes into it, after I seen him, I'm like, oh yeah, well yeah, he's probably gonna be, you know, Jack the Ripper. He kind of has, you know, the look. He's got the goofy little hat and the mustache, which most of the guys dressed that way in that era. Which I guess if you're talking Jack the Ripper, that was what, late 1800s, like 1890 or something.
Yeah, something like that.
So, but I did think that was a little odd that, you know, they just boom, there it is, man. It's right in your fucking face. And old Captain Obvious there, Mr. Slade. I mean, my goodness. I mean, the crazy one, the old man. What did she say that he had? What he was like? I don't know. He was like fucking delusional or like schizophrenic or something, or he was, I don't know, Alzheimer's, or didn't he have something wrong with him or whatever? And he would just like talk crazy shit, and he kind of had his eye on Slade in the beginning. But anyway, overall, it was pretty good. Go ahead, Jody. How many skulls are you giving this little masterpiece you picked for us?
I give it about 4 skulls.
You 4 skulls? Yeah. Really? Okay. Mm-hmm.
For it being a 1944, yeah. For it being a 1944 film, they did pretty good on it.
I didn't think it was bad. I enjoyed it. I don't know if I'm going a whole 4 skulls, but I will give them the lion's share of the 5 skulls. I'll give them 3 skulls. Dom, what are you giving this one? If you don't have anything else to add to this movie.
I enjoy this movie a lot, and I think pretty much any horror fan can sit down and enjoy it. And I gave it 3¾ skulls because I'm happy I watched it. It's almost a 4 skull movie in my opinion, but I gotta keep my 4s and 5s for other. You know, it's just gotta be a little more to get that. Like if there would have been a swerve, and Mr. Slade wasn't the Ripper, and it was someone else. And everyone was just suspicious of this guy just because he was weird and eccentric. Mm-hmm. Like, it probably would have got 4 from me. But because it was so obvious that it was him, and like I said, once he saw his brother's vision, like, look, my brother's beautiful. It's like, ah. So, yeah, 3¾, because I think it's a little more than, in my opinion, a little more than 3 skulls, because I think anybody can pretty much enjoy this, especially being from 1944. Like, there's not many films I bet that we could go dig out from 1944 that any of us would enjoy.
No, I agree. Yeah.
Right.
True. Agree. So a 3.75 skulls for Dom, because he's got to be complicated.
Yes. Yes. I give quarters and halves and 3/4. Yes.
3 4/32 of a skull.
A skull and a mandible.
SJ, what are you giving this this little ditty here, the lodger?
I'm going to have to hedge my bets here and go right in the middle of everybody and give it 3.5 skulls. Okay. But because it's very atmospheric. It's very London foggy, which is appropriate. And, you know, the fact that we know right away that this guy is Jack the Ripper is almost comical. It almost makes it an even more of an enjoyable watch for me, especially going back and watching it a second time. I haven't done that yet, but when I do, you know, I think it'll be almost a funny watch. Like, these people are so oblivious to the fact that they have the killer living in their house.
Right.
There are some really poetic moments in there, some really good dialogue. I think the guy that actually played Slade was really, really good.
I thought the same. Yeah, I mean, to cut you off, but yeah. I thought he did a really good job.
Yeah, I think most of the actors in this movie did a really good job. It wasn't super cheesy. It was just the fact that these characters are just oblivious to what's going on around them. And I thought at the end, right before the, you know, the climax of the movie, when Slade kind of corners Kitty in her dressing room, and that back and forth where she is kind of she knows what's going on, but she's kind of playing into it. And at the same time, trying to get this guy away. She, like, she's making that connection in her brain. Oh, this is it. It's true. This is Jack the Ripper, this lodger that's been with us. And that back and forth of that scene, I thought was really good. But yeah, 3.5 skulls for me. I thought it was a good movie. It could have been better. It could have been worse. It was right there in the sweet spot.
Awesome.
So yeah.
I have redeemed myself this week.
Yeah, yeah. From Die, Die, My Darling to this. Yes, you're on the upward rise now. But okay, SJ Dom, who wants to go first with their pick? I'll pull up the rear. I'll save the worst for last.
Well, I don't know. What do you think, Dom? You want to go with Would You Rather? Would you rather go with mine or yours?
Honestly, would you do that?
Is someone going to stab me? Maybe we should right go with yours. Let's go with yours.
All right, I guess we're going Castle Freak then. So, yeah, my pick is Castle Freak from 1995. And this is a Stuart Gordon film who... I guess a lot of horror fans would know from Reanimator fame. It has a lot of the same cast from Reanimator. So this movie is basically about a guy who inherits a castle. Imagine that. And it turns out to be more than he expected. Imagine that. In fact, it turns out to have kind of a dark secret in this castle.
Imagine
in
that.
The form of... Imagine that. In the form of... let's say a young boy who has been raised in this castle unsupervised and away from any outside contact from the world, and his mother, terribly abusive duchess that was the previous owner of this castle, subjected him to a lot of floggings with cat of nine tails and just starvation, and he's locked away in this dungeon in the bottom of the castle. And so when our character, our hero, inherits this castle, it's assumed that this kid has been dead for a long time. But no, imagine that, he still dwells in the castle. And it's the story of this family moving in to kind of liquidate the assets of this castle and slowly coming to the realization that something else lurks beneath. So I'm not going to spoil any of the gory details. I guess we can talk about that now. But what did you guys think about this one?
Dom, go ahead, brother. What would you think about Castle Freak?
Castle Freak, I mean, the story itself is dark. It's loosely based off an H.P. Lovecraft story. So I love H.P. Lovecraft. It derives from it. It's not true, the Lovecraft story at all. It was heavily inspired, I think we could say. So I enjoyed so much. The first thing that came to mind was, like... the mother cut his penis off too. I don't know. I mean, yeah. If that was mentioned or not, but during the torture and stuff, she had mutilated his penis, which we'll find out later in the film when there's a prostitute on the grounds.
Spoiler alert.
Was that the sausage
right?
he was
yeah,
eating?
Yeah, there's definitely going to be spoilers.
Was that the sausage he was eating at the beginning?
Oh my God.
I was about to say, they did kind of allude to
I
that.
I didn't
in the
even think
scene,
about that.
Cutting the bread and salami.
Ew.
Yeah. Yeah, that's yeah. They were kind of going to put that in the mind there. Yes.
You're welcome.
But after she passes away, he has this moment of realization where it's like, oh, if I break my thumb, I can unchain myself. It's like all these years, you never thought of that.
Never thought of that. Well, he didn't just break his thumb. It was like he ripped the fucking thing off.
He was chewing through his thumb first, and then he. Yeah, and he kind of broke it off and it fell on the ground, and then he got the cuffs off and then he got free. There was some things going on in the movie that I questioned, like at one scene, which we don't, I guess, did they specify that the Castle Freak is the guy's brother who comes? Because they were, they were twins, and the mother said that the child had died at birth, or they weren't twins or whatever, but they were brothers. That's why he inherited it. And Castle Freak died at birth. It's a her husband had cheated on her and stuff, and that's why she kept the son, cut off his anus, and tortured him for all these years, because I guess she hated men or something.
But that was, wasn't he...
But
wasn't he the guy's aunt? I mean, wasn't he the guy's cousin? Because wasn't...
Yeah, that's...
I don't know.
Because...
Okay, his cousin then, all right.
I was just making sure, because wasn't he, wasn't the guy married to the... What are they called? The Countess, or whatever they called her.
Yeah.
When he married the Duchess, and then he cheated on her with the guy who moved into the castle's mom or grandmother or whoever it was.
It's complicated.
Okay, yeah.
I paid too much attention to this movie.
There was a scene later when the guy's in the bar and he picks up a prostitute and he takes her in the alley. And he performs oral sex on her, and I'm like, who does this?
Well, it's not actually in the alley either. It's actually in the wine cellar of the castle.
Yeah. In the wine cellar,
He takes her back to the castle. Yeah.
I think we had jokes for days about that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, there's so many jokes to be made at this movie's expense. But I think that John and Giorgio are actually brothers, and the Duchess was... the mother of both of them. So I think, Dom, you're on the right track there. There's a definite bloodline connection there with this whole fucked up family in this castle. But
so, and then we get like the castle freaks going around, and he's killing people, and then the police come and they arrest the brother or whatever, and they take him in, and the greatest scene ever. He escapes interrogation. But you know, I'm making jokes about the parts that bother me. What I should say is the parts that I enjoyed, because like I really did enjoy this film, though. Like, even though I'm, you know, throwing these out here, I enjoyed the whole movie.
Yeah, I thought it was great. There's a lot of back and forth between the family. The Riley family is the name of the main character family in this movie, John Riley and his family. His wife blames him for the drunk driving wreck that killed their son JJ and blinded their daughter, and that's a big part of the movie, that their daughter is blind in this movie. And there's a lot of parallels going on between what happened to the Riley family and what happened with the Duchess and her, you know, the castle freak. She kind of shunned this child and put him away in a dungeon. And there's kind of some elements going on there with the couple that moves in and inherits the castle, same kind of way. The wife is kind of shunning the husband, and she blames him for everything, but she's for some reason still sticks by his side. And the castle freak comes and escapes his bonds at a certain point in the movie, and he goes on this killing rampage, and it's all blamed on the father. Again, you know, John Riley in the movie, Jeffrey Combs, by the way, great performance. And so it all ends up getting blamed on him. And it's kind of this demon that's been lurking in his mind that's doing the killing all along, almost, you know. There's a psychological element to the movie that I thought was really interesting. And I could talk about it for a long time, but I'll shut up now.
No, I dug it. I was like, man, this is kind of weird. We got this guy running around, you know, biting nipples off.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't it seem like he was just going after females? Like, there was a little vendetta there, because he didn't really go after anybody else, did he?
Mm-mm. Not
he got the blind girl, he got the prostitute, he got, went after the mother. That was kind of a diversion on her part, you know, to try and, you know, stab his ass. But it just seemed like he was going after her. And she's like, here, take me. And, like, shows her tit.
Yeah.
Well, because his mom would beat the hell out of him.
Good.
It's almost like the Jack the Ripper thing.
For some reason, he got some resentment towards women. I can't figure it out.
Neither, right?
Yeah. Where did that come from?
I mean, she beats him and feeds him his own cock. I mean...
Possibly.
Right.
Possibly. Ouch. So, Jody, what did you think of this?
I found it very intriguing. A little disturbing, but it was intriguing. It was a good movie.
It, could have been a Serbian film.
I couldn't make it 10 minutes into that film.
I'm so glad that didn't come out this week, because that was for the listeners, that was SJ's original pick, a Serbian film.
Don't watch it.
But yeah, I like this one.
This was a good second pick. Yeah.
It took me a minute to catch on to what was going on, but after I did, I was like, oh, it all makes sense now.
Okay, so SJ, what are you giving your pick? How many skulls does your pick get, in your opinion?
I'm going to give it a solid 4. I've seen this movie several times now, and it every time I see it, it's one of those ones where I see something new every time I watch it, or catch on to a little something that's happening in the background that I didn't notice the last time I watched it. So, I don't know, really intriguing, a lot of themes going on. A lot of subtext, so yeah, 4 skulls for me.
Awesome. Dom, what do you give this one, my friend, if you don't have anything else to add to it?
I also gave it 4 skulls. I enjoyed this. It was the first time I had seen it, and I liked the story. I liked what it was all about, and like I said, it being influenced by the Lovecraft story, I kind of had a little bit of familiar with what this story was, although it derived from that. But overall, I think anybody could, any horror fan would enjoy this film. It's definitely, if it's something you haven't seen, watch it. I give it definitely 4 skulls.
Yeah, I'm probably going to just have to follow suit. I think I'm also going to give it 4 skulls. I did like the story behind it. For me, maybe it's just my sick, twisted sense of humor, but I found it quite comedic at times. I don't know if it was mentioned, but you had mentioned, Dom, that it was loosely based on a short story. I just don't know if you had mentioned what short story that was, that being The Outsider, if you hadn't mentioned it, by H.P. Lovecraft.
Yeah.
So, this was this is a good pick. This is probably one that if I ran across it in a, ran across a DVD or something, I'd probably throw the change down to pick this one up. How many skulls you...
No, I'd like to...
I mean...
I wanted to add something about the movie really quickly. The makeup effects for the freak himself.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how freaking, oh my God. So this is a full body prosthetic that this actor had to be in. And I think I watched a behind the scenes thing on YouTube, and I'll try to find that link later. But it was the first full body prosthetic that had been done for a long time, I think since the 40s or 50s. I can't remember, but yeah, shout out to the makeup guys on this movie, because Jesus, the Castle Freak is a scary looking beast.
Yes, he is. Yes. How many skulls do you give this, Mrs. Dredge?
I give it 4 stars.
Stars?
I meant 4 skulls.
That's right. We do skulls here. Man, it got 4s all the way around.
Like I said, it took me a second to catch on. I think that's the only reason I probably wouldn't give it a 5. And it would be one that I'd definitely buy.
Why? Because you're slow?
Sometimes. But, yeah, I thought it was a good movie. Look who I'm married to.
Oh. But don't. Now we come to Dom's pick, and you picked what movie, sir?
I picked 2012's Would You Rather. It was directed by David Guy Levy and written by Stefan Schlachtenhoffen.
that was pretty good. I'm looking at his last name now. I couldn't have done any better.
It stars Brittany Snow and June Squibb, and again, Jeffrey Combs. And I knew nothing about this movie going in, which is, I saw a list of movies from the 2000s that it said a list of movies you probably haven't seen that you should. And I picked one off of this list, and the one I picked was Would You Rather. So I had no idea what I was getting into. It started off, and it's a, I guess it would be an independent film. Right off the bat, I was happy because you could tell it reminded me of kind of like the Argento or the old 70s Italian horror films, where Like, it scored. It's like, yay, you have someone put music to your film instead of just throwing songs on from some band. Like, I like that right off the bat. So we find out it's a story of a young woman who has to take care of her brother. Her parents, I don't remember if they specified what happened to the parents. Or if they did, I forgot it. It's really inconsequential. The parents have passed away and they're not there. So her brother has a terminal disease and she's trying to find out how she can help him. And she's there taking care of him and doing what they can. But naturally, with any illness, that starts to rack up. And so when she meets with the doctor is like, I want to introduce you to this guy. And he brings this guy, the guy's in the room, and he explains how he's funded all these hospitals and schools across the world and how he can change people's lives, and he wants to help her, and he invites her over for dinner. And what she doesn't know is when she gets there, there's going to be seven other people, and they're going to compete in a deadly game called Would You Rather, which just round by round gets more sadistic. The wealthy guy invites eight people over who have different problems. This one's got financial problems. This one's got medical problems. Down the line, whatever kind of problems he can find. And if you get through the night, and what they don't know is if you're the last person standing, then all your problems in the world are fixed. But what we get into is a game that is just torture and gets worse and worse each round as people drop. And at first, one of the first things we see is she sits down, everyone's there, the food comes out, and the woman who comes to help her brother has food in front of her. And she's like, I'm vegan, I can't eat this. And he's like, for $1,000, you can. And she looks at it and she's like, no. And he's like, for $5,000. And the money's in front of her, and all of a sudden, boom, she's a meat eater. So we get an idea of where it's going to go. And then the second one is an alcoholic. And, well, he's no longer an alcoholic. He's been sober for so many years. And there's a glass of wine, and the guy realizes that he hasn't drank any wine. He's been drinking the water. And he knew he was an alcoholic when he invited, or a recovered alcoholic. So he offers him, I think it was $10,000 to drink the wine. And the guy just like, no, he refuses. He's like, he talks about how long he's been sober and how alcohol had ruined his life. I guess the alcoholism had destroyed and cost him everything. So he refuses to drink the wine. And then the guy puts a bottle of one of the finest bourbons on the table. And then he puts $50,000 down. And he's, and another guy who he has in the room, he has a bunch of, I guess you can call them guards because they're armed, and what, they're ex-special forces, I think he had said at one point or something. Mm. But the guy puts a gun to his head, and he's like, well, you either drink the wine for $10,000 or the bourbon for $50,000. And the guy quickly like makes up his mind, well, if I'm a drink, I'm going to get $50,000.
Right.
So he drinks that, and then he says, what, are they given a chance to leave? See, it's been like almost 2 weeks. I can't remember if they were given a chance
or
whatever.
If they choose to leave the game, then that's what happens at first. They make an example out of that guy, like, you know.
Yeah, because he opts out. He was like, okay, well, I'm going to take $50,000 and leave. Like, I don't want nothing to do with this. And next thing you know, he gets shot in the head and he's dead on the floor. And all of a sudden, everyone at the table realizes what they're really in store for. And from there, it just builds and it builds. And it's so good. I'm surprised at how good this movie was and that I hadn't heard of it.
Yeah, me neither. Had you guys heard of it?
I had seen it in passing. The name popping up. I never was like, oh, I got to go see this. I never really looked into it or anything, which is the beauty of going to the movies like we do, because this is one that I had heard of but just wasn't, you know, had knew nothing about it, and I dug it. Go ahead, SJ. What were you going to say about this?
Oh, I was just going to say, I think this might be my favorite of the four movies that we're talking about tonight, because it was just so, the setup was so good. I didn't see anything coming. I was going into it blind, just like Dom, you were going into it blind. I think we were all kind of going into it blind. But yeah, to go into a movie blind like that and be surprised and intrigued and just pulled into the joint the whole time. You know, that's kind of a rare thing. Jeffrey Combs back again as the kind of, what's the name of the institute that puts on this whole show? I can't remember the name.
I can't remember it either.
Oh, Lambrick. Yeah. The Lambrick Foundation. Yeah.
That's so, it.
You know, it's such a devious plot, and there's a lot of there are a lot of parallels to other modern horror movies, I think, in here, but it stands as a unique title, even given those comparisons. I mean, you could compare this kind of movie to Saw or any of those kind of like torture porn horror movies, for lack of a better term, where, you know, we're going to watch these characters do horrible things to each other, and we're going to make them make these really sadistic decisions or not. And if you don't do it, then possibly something equal or worse will happen to you. So it's one of those, you're on the edge of your seat the whole time movies, waiting to see what the next fucked up stunt is going to be.
Right. And I definitely was, because, you know, I mean, it brought out such a strong human element. You know, like, yeah, I was really putting myself in, trying to put myself, you know, in that same situation that they're in. Okay, all right, do I want to whip old dude who can barely hold his head up because he's been whipped, you know, so many times, or jab a fucking ice pick in somebody, or take an ice pick to the leg, or whatever, you know, these really sadistic choices that they had to make were. And so and you really start to see, you know, it was realistic in the fact that you could really, I can't remember which character it was. Maybe the black guy. Is it the black guy that just went over there and just started whipping the shit out of old dude? He was like, "The hell with this. This is an easy decision." You know, I'm sorry, bro. I think it might have been him, but you just start to see, like, how these characters, you know, how their darker side comes out when confronted with, okay, would you do this or would you rather do this? You know, or have this done to you or do this? Take an ice pick to the fucking leg or whip this guy and pretty, you know, put him within an inch of his life, you know.
Or an old lady in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. At first they start with the electrocution, like you either electrocute yourself or the person to your right, and you have to choose between two buttons, and you got 15 seconds to hit one or a guy's going to shoot you.
Yep.
And so at first you see some of the guys are like, well, I can't electrocute this woman, or someone's like, I can't electrocute this poor guy next to me. Like, so at first some of them start taking it themselves, like, oh no, I'm not them, I can't live with just electrocuting this person. But then as it goes on and people start to realize, because even after seeing the guy shot, I don't think until you're actually in the situation do you realize the gravity of it. So once they start, after they realize, like, wow, I am electrocuted, like, that hurt real bad, like, I don't want to do that again, that's when you start to see the characters develop and become more brutal. And, like, the one girl I liked, she had to choose between, I think he told her that she could stab anyone at the table or stab herself in the leg. I think, was that it? And she said, can I stab them anywhere I want?
Yeah.
And the guy was like, well, nobody's ever asked that before. Well, yes, go ahead. And she had broke mentally, and she's like, well, I have to hurt somebody, so I might as well make the most of this. And I'm going to get as ruthless as I can because I'm walking out of here tonight. Unfortunately, she doesn't, but.
No, she doesn't.
But she gets there to the end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The goth.
But you,
the goth
you see
girl,
them.
Right?
Go ahead. Bet.
No, I was just saying, was it the goth kind of chick that you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They said something about, like, I don't know, was it her boyfriend had killed their baby or she'd killed the baby? Like, she had something dark that happened.
Yeah
I can't remember specifically what, but, like, she was in her situation for something, because he only said it once and it was real brief, and it was just like, wow, okay, now we know why she's here.
Yeah, she was kind of one of the coldest and most emotionless participants in the whole game.
Yeah.
Yeah, she definitely had to be. She had that sociopath thing going on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seemed to me like she was the clear cut person that was going to win. Like she wasn't going to have a problem just hurting whoever she had to hurt.
Right. No, what a setup.
Yeah. The ending, I thought, was kind of unexpected. I don't know if we should just throw that out there. You know, the ending. Kind of a recent.
Oh, the movie. Very end.
Yeah, the very, very end.
I mean, I think we could save the very end for people who watch it and talk about the whole rest of the movie. But as I've said many times, what I didn't like about new movies was happy endings. Mm-hmm. There's no happy ending.
Yeah.
No happy ending in this movie.
So,
which is a bonus in my world.
What's that?
Would you say it's a satisfying ending in any kind of way? Would anybody?
Ironically, yes. In an ironic way, yes.
I kind of agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the ending that you want. It's the ending that you get. And that's kind of what you get with movies. But when, you know, I think they rode that fine line very well with the ending. That's all I'll say about it.
I kind of had an idea. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
There's a scene in the movie where you kind of get an idea that what happens at the end might happen. I don't know if you kind of pick up on that or not. I don't want to get too much into it, but there is one scene where you kind of go, oh, wait, and then at the end, yeah. It's like, oh yeah. Like, so that's something, if you didn't catch it the first time, if you watch this movie a second time, you'll definitely catch it knowing.
Right. I totally agree with that. There's some actual foreshadowing at the beginning that if you go back and watch it a second time, you'd probably pick up on with, you know, the main character and the terminally ill, her brother that's sick. There's some weird foreshadowing in the first moments of the movie that are totally, you wouldn't pick up on those on the first viewing. So, you know, that's another thing about this movie. It warrants a second viewing, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I can agree.
I think we were talking about it, SJ, that foreshadowing that was going on, because I honestly did not pick anything up throughout that movie that would lead me to believe that what happens in the end, the very, very end,
mm-hmm.
Concerning right. her brother was going to happen. I didn't see it happening that way. Let me put it to you that way. I didn't see it happening that way. I kind of had an idea that something was going to happen, but not in the way that it turned out. And I didn't pick it up. I didn't pick up on, this is going on. So, I got an idea of what may happen. None of that happened. Nothing in the movie really prepared me for what, you know, happened at the end. What did you think about the movie in general, Mrs. Dredds? And if you want to get into what you thought about the ending.
I like this movie. The only thing is, did they ever say why the guy who they kept whipping, what he did, or...
He was in a vet. I think he was in an Iraq war vet. Is that right?
I don't remember.
I believe that was it, yeah.
He was some kind of a combat vet. So he had seen it and done it before. So that's kind of why he was willing to take the whip again. Like,
but
he
they
would
were
talk
showing
people into...
no mercy on him. I mean, he was the one that they targeted
you
him.
Can't, yeah.
Dom, you're about to say something about it.
Yeah, I mean, you weren't allowed to show mercy, because at first the girl who had to whip him, the woman that had to whip him, she walked up and the guy, the aristocrat or whatever you want to call him that was running it, was like, don't be easy.
Right, but I'm saying that...
And she was. But
that's who I was talking about, was the aristocrat and stuff, that they were targeting him.
Yeah. Yeah, they all agreed. They kind of, because he volunteered himself, like, I can take it, go ahead. But and for people who are listening, when we talk about whipping him, it's not like a bull whip. It's African whipping cane or something.
Yeah.
Like, it's brutal.
Yeah.
yeah, this is a brutal thing to be hit with. It is a brutal weapon. And several lashings of this, even to the back, will kill most people. It'll cause you to bleed out after you're in total agony for an extended period of time. You will die from this. But, like, he got a bunch of them real quick.
Yeah.
It was just, that was it. He was dead. He'd gone. Take this dude out of the room. And that was kind of like, it was almost like, you know, you see, there's eight people at a table, and seven of them kind of like, after the first guy got hit, was like, well, maybe if we all work together, you know, and take this guy out, like, maybe it'll be over. But after he's taken out of the room, they realize the game still goes on.
Right.
And I think
there was a moment there. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Jody.
And I think another thing that's good about this movie is there's a moral. There's a moral to the story. I mean, you watch it and it goes into greed and what people will do for money and what people will do to make sure. Because how they put it out there in the beginning, before these people understand what they're completely involved in, is it's an easy fix.
Mm-hmm.
There's consequences.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of explains the ending of the movie too, is that there's consequences to everybody's actions, regardless of your good intentions, regardless of the outcome of what you're doing it for or anything like that. There's always consequences. And I really liked that movie.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah.
So, I think we all liked it. I guess it's
so,
time
so
to
I guess we have to start
toss skulls out there.
Skulls now. Dom, what are you rating this little gem that you blessed us with?
I almost talked myself up higher, but my original rating here is 4 skulls, and I'm going to stick with 4 skulls. I enjoyed it, so I'll watch it again. I don't think it's a 5. In my opinion, it's not a 5-skull movie, but for a new film, it was very enjoyable, and you can really feel the tension build and even put yourself, like you had mentioned, in that situation of what would I do. And I think the only thing that would have made that kept this from going higher for me is just the way I guess I would blame the director. I would have shot and filmed it differently. Like, I understand it's all going to pretty much take place in one room. I just thought a little more could have gone into the camera work personally and made this up another level. But overall, the way it is, I give it 4 skulls.
Oh yeah. SJ, how many skulls does it get from you, happy boy?
Oh man, it's hard to follow that one. I would have to give this one, you know, I'm gonna go a little bit low. I'm gonna give it 3.75 out of 5 skulls.
There's that 3/4 again.
There's that 3/4 again. You started the trend, man. But I love this movie. I went into it sight unseen, like all of us did. And I was pleasantly surprised. Jeffrey Combs is back. He's great. He's just such a good bad guy in this movie. And the morality play in it is really interesting. I wish we could talk about the ending of the movie more on this podcast, but I know we can't spoil it, because if you haven't seen this movie, go out and check it out.
Yeah, we'll give you a week
tonight.
And we're talking about it.
Right. Maybe next time we'll talk about the ending. But really solid film. I would agree with what Dom said, that it could have been had a little better cinematography. If it was shot more professionally, I think it would be even more effective. But as it is, really great flick. Kind of sends that tingle up your spine,
yeah,
kind of flick. So yeah, highly recommended.
Oh yeah,
check it out.
So we got a 4 skulls from Dom and a 3.75 from SJ. What are you giving this, Mrs. Dreads?
I am going to give it a 4.5.
4.5.
Yeah, I. The only thing, like you guys said, would be probably the cinematography of it. But other than that, I mean, you were held captive the whole movie. The acting in it was great. I mean, there, just the storyline,
yeah,
was really good too. I mean, this is a movie that I've not seen, but like I've seen the title of it and stuff, and It wasn't ever a movie that I really ever wanted to watch.
Yeah,
but,
same.
But I'm really happy that I did. It would be a movie that I'd own in a heartbeat. If I see it out, I'd definitely buy it.
All right, so 4.5 skulls. I'm going to go.
High marks.
What's that?
High marks from Jody.
Yes.
I like that.
Yes. I'm going to... I never really paid attention to, you know, the whole, you know, the camera shooting, like you were mentioning, Dom. But once you started talking about it, you guys started talking about it, I could pick, yeah, it could have been, I think, maybe a little more atmospheric. I mean, yes, it was just shot in one room, and there is only, you know, so much you can do. So you kind of have to, like, step it up, you know, maybe with your camera work, because you don't have different locations, you don't have, you know, really different lighting, and things like that. But other than that, like you said, Mrs. Dredge, I thought the acting was good. It did keep me captive, like those fuckers. And it had me pondering, what would I do? And that's usually the mark of a good movie for me anyway, that if I get so captivated in a movie that I start putting myself into the character's shoes, for one, it tells me that the storyline is good. It's got a good story. It's got, you know, a good plot, you know, whatever. And it also says something about the acting, because you can't be a shitty actor and you know, have people, you know, trying to put themselves in your shoes if you're not selling it. And that's what this movie did for me. It you know, put me in that their situations. What would I do? Of course I would, you know, stab somebody with a nice pick. Are you crazy? Yes. But I'm
wait.
I'm,
that's a whole discussion,
right? That's for another podcast. But I'm going to go 4.25 skulls. You've done started something, Dom. Nobody's going to give a flat 3 skulls, 2 skulls. It's always going to be like 2.75, 2.25.
2 1/3.
Well, a couple of them got 4, so a couple of them did good tonight.
Yes, yeah. couple of them.
Yeah, there were a couple of just normal 4s, but yeah, we're going to play around with the quarters and the half.
Oh, you have to.
You got to kind of separate some of your movies from other ones. Like, there are, you know what I mean, a bunch of movies you could say are 3 stars, but there's definitely going to be some in there that you're like, you know, what, maybe that one is 3.5 because I enjoy it more than the other one. So
right.
Something to kind of separate that kind of works.
It makes sense. Makes sense. I think one thing that's going to you know, separate our final movie for the night, that being my pick, will be the amount of skulls that this this movie will get. I, like always, I'm just looking around trying to find, and sometimes I'll just put in bad horror movie from the 60s. And I don't remember, I might have put in B horror movie or something of that nature. And boom, The Devil Rides Out from 1968. It's a British horror film, but we won't hold that against them. and it was based on the 1934 novel of the same name, The Devil Rides Out, and that novel was written by Dennis Wheatley. This movie, The Devil Rides Out, was written by Richard Matheson and directed by Terrence Fisher. Stars Charles Gray, Nike, it's spelled like Nike, Origi. And Leon Green, and of course, a very familiar name to horror fans, Christopher Lee, good old Dracula.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, anyway.
And he does look a lot like Vincent Price.
He does a little bit in this. Yeah, he's got the stash and mm-hmm. that little goatee and whatnot. But this plot, it's set in London. South, you know, in 1929, and you have Nicholas or Christopher Lee's character, Nicholas. I'm not even going to try and pronounce the name. I can't remember how they.
De Ruchelot.
Is that what it is?
I just tried. I don't know. De Ruchelot.
Oh, okay. That sounds good. We'll go with that.
Sounds good to me, yeah.
Right. He has taking on the responsibility of looking after whose son is Simon's. Maybe it was just a good friend of Nicholas. And when this guy, when his friend died, he vowed to look after his son. His son happens to be Simon Aaron, played by Patrick Mower. Mauer, whatever. He hasn't heard from him in quite some time. So him and another guy, they go to check on him. They just pop into his house, you know. It's kind of unexpected. Although there was, I think they do mention there was a formal meeting. They were going to meet up, but he came in early. He was just concerned, a little worried. Maybe he had suspicions. I don't think they really led into that or led on to that. And what he finds out is, well, it's not an astrology club like Simon tries to tell him.
What a great cover.
It wasn't no, it, right? You got all these, you know, well-to-do, you know, people, you know, on this black tie fucking event. And that goofy old lady, man, with the cross eyes.
With the cross eyes.
Oh, my God. That freaked me out. Oh, didn't she kind of remind you of the old lady in Rosemary's Baby?
Yeah.
The blonde lady.
The old couple that keeps feeding her the Tannerman?
Tannis root.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She kind of reminded me of it. Yeah, she was all creepy looking when they're all cross-eyed and shit. And you're like, man, she's an odd one right there, you know. But
I think everybody at that astronomical convention party was a little bit off. But go ahead. We'll get there.
They had to be. So, yeah, so Simon gets pulled away by what looks like to be a mentor. You don't know it at the time. An older gentleman, white hair, mentor. Let me talk to you, Simon. Pardon us. And they go off. They come back. The old guy apparently tells them, look, they've got to go. You know, this is a private meeting here. You know, we got some devils to worship, which... Nicholas don't know about that yet, but he's going to soon find out. So he sends Simon back to let you know, the two know, because he's with what was that other guy's name that he was with?
Ricks.
What is it?
It's Ricks, right? The partner.
Yeah,
no?
Yeah. That's who I was thinking of. I'm looking. You know, I'm going through. I can't find his damn name. But anyway. So he goes and tells him, yeah, look, I'm sorry, but you guys got to, you know, get the hell out of here. And you know, Christopher Lee's character, Nicholas, he plays it, you know, really kind of smooth. Oh, sure. And they start to walk out, and Simon's like, woo, I think I'm in the fucking clear here. All of a sudden, Nicholas wants to take a look at his telescope. He's almost got like a fucking observatory or something. So he wants to go look in his telescope. And one of my favorite parts, because I love the way Christopher Lee played this, because one of my favorite parts is just, you know, just these little subtle things. Like he was like, why do you want to go up and look at his telescope? And he just very simply goes, I don't.
That may be the best part of the movie.
I love that part. I mean, he does these little things, you know, like, I don't. Very dun-dun-dun. So anyway, this telescope is up in this room, and all of a sudden, you know, there's, like, all kinds of, like, symbolism and everything on the floor. There's weird artwork, and Nicholas is starting to get an idea something is going on here. This isn't no fucking... astrology society or astronomy society, whatever the fuck it was. And they're standing there and they're talking, and all of a sudden they hear this like this like scratching and shit, and it's like, oh, it's mice. And when the old dude says maybe it's mice, you see Christopher Lee, he just whips his head around, his eyes are as big as fucking saucers, and he just stops and he runs over to the closet. opens up this wicker basket, and there's these fucking chickens in there. Because they're getting ready to do some sacrificial chickens.
Some tasty fried chicken.
Oh, it just tasted them good. Oh, man. So then, you know, it pretty much, his cover's blown at that point. Now, is it just me, or does Simon get knocked out like twice in this movie?
I was about to say, man, Christopher Lee throws some punches in this movie. Like that's the one of the themes running through the movie, is that if somebody's in your way, one punch, knocked out, dealt with.
You need the old Batman TV show. Yeah. Bubbles to pop up. Pow! Smack! Like, yeah.
Smack!
Because that one punch, pow! Christopher, they want you to know Christopher Lee is a bad dude.
He's a bad motherfucker.
He lays Simon out. I think twice, or, you know, once towards the end. But, yeah, you know, and so anyway, he, you know, now it's Nicholas, Christopher Lee's character's job to get him out of this. And I can't even remember when the girl comes into the picture.
She was supposed to have her baptism the same time he was.
Oh, that's right. Oh, okay. Shit. Okay. All right. Yeah. Right.
And she has the ironic name, like it's supposed to be her satanic name, but it's really her actual name. Birth name. Yeah. What was it? Tanith or Tanith? Something with the T.
Yeah.
Tanith. There you go. Yeah.
So, hey, Dom, did you find it kind of funny? Did that not have some resemblance to Bohemian Grove?
You know what? That's so weird that you brought that up, because, like, yeah, I felt like, yeah, what the Bohemian Grove and what happens out there and the videos have come out and everything. It was like,
I was waiting to see Alex Jones pop out of some hammer bush somewhere.
Right, either that or somebody at some point involved with this movie had been there. That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean?
That's what I think is more likely. I mean, it is what, a 60, when this movie come out?
68.
68, yeah. Bohemian Grove. Oh, shit.
This movie had the recipe for everything great. I mean, it's a Hammer film. Christopher Lee's in it. It's all dabbed with satanic imagery and occult rituals. And it has all the hallmarks of what's going to be an awesome film. I was so excited going into this.
How many times did it take you to watch it again?
At four times I stopped this movie and started it again. And I'd rewind it like 5 minutes or so just to refresh myself where I dropped off at. And I mean, it's just, I don't know. To me, it was bad in some spots. Like, and not just bad, like 1968, like real bad for 1968. Like, this movie has a lot of praise and high reviews online, though. You'd be amazed. I'm looking at IMDb right now.
I saw that.
And 7,000 ratings. It's 7 out of 10.
Oh wow!
Like a lot of people really like this movie. And, I mean, the storyline, I guess the story itself isn't so bad, but I don't know if it's just the acting and the way they did some things just made it cheesy and bad. You know, the way they summon the devil himself appears, and he's sitting on a rock, and it's like,
oh,
okay, well, here's something you don't really see a lot, like the actual devil. Like, cool, he came to see these, like, 30 people. Like, I bet that would really happen. And then Christopher Lee and his friend ride in, and they, like, throw a crucifix at him, and, like, poof, he's gone. Like, I'm like, oh, no. Yeah. And then, like, there's a part where they sacrifice a goat. And when they go to sacrifice it, all these devil worshippers are there. And they're like, oh, like, they can't stand the thought of it and what's going to happen. But then 2 seconds later, when the blood's squirting out, they're all running up to get their, like, Andromachrome or whatever the fuck's coming out. And, like, let me drink that, right? They're all excited to drink the blood. But they were all, like, appalled by the fact that they were going to sacrifice it. It's like, no, that's what you came for. You've done this before. Don't be shocked.
And then they dance around like the first people to ever do ecstasy. And that whole...
Right? Yeah, that's what I thought. I was like, wow, it's like, it's a Molly party.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like they're all just like out of their fucking minds. Like you could put on some psychedelic music and just loop that look, scene, man, of them dancing.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great. Like 10 hours of that.
There's a goat man. Did you see the goat man on the rock, man? He's up there.
Right?
We can't forget about the first time that they summon the demon or Satan or whatever. And it's just the black guy.
Yeah.
That appears
right in his eyes.
The observatory.
That was don't look at his eyes. Dumbest shit I have ever seen, dude.
Like, was that, my question is, was that his real eyes, or was that, I couldn't even tell if that was real eyes or special effects. Like, I was like in a hypnotic state looking at it too. Like, what's happening? Don't look. Christopher Lee's telling me not to look at his eyes, but I can't stop. Like, what? He's looking two different ways. Are they real? What's happening? I'm hypnotized. Fuck.
I think that was the intention of the scene. They wanted to make you.
It worked. I do like the idea that the devil can take on many forms, though. Like, that there's a lot of cool aspects in what they're doing, but to me, it was a lot of disappointment in how they delivered, I guess. Christopher Lee, though, is the saving grace. Like, if you're a Christopher Lee fan and you haven't seen this movie, like, you would enjoy it because Christopher Lee is great in everything he's ever done.
Yeah, that's true. I can't argue with that.
Well, I tell you what.
Yeah, he's never done, like, a bad performance.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know who, you know, our vote is voting this movie all high to give him 7 out of 10 stars, but the budget was 285,000 pounds, okay? It's and at the box office in France, it only made $276,459. So we're not the only ones. I mean, apparently people, you know, across the pond there, they don't appreciate this movie then either.
It's, in my opinion, it's definitely one of the more disappointing Hammer films.
Even more so than Die, Die, My Darling?
No. Oh, my God, no.
Okay, all right.
No, this is cinematic masterpiece.
Oh, man, yeah, that one was horrible. SJ, if you have not watched this,
don't
do so. No,
I haven't. That's why I haven't said anything. This is an inside joke between you guys.
It's bad.
I haven't seen this one yet. Yeah. I'm not going to.
I picked the movie the last time we did. It's the movie I picked, and yeah, I think I was the only one who rated it a one star, a one skull. Everybody,
it owes me skulls. Like,
yeah. I gave it a half. I did give it a half. I don't remember. Oh, because I enjoyed the woman that.
Oh, the crazy.
I gave it a half a skull for. Yeah, the like mother or whatever.
Yeah, the mother-in-law.
Half a skull for her acting performance, because especially after I read about it and found out she was just like drunk the whole time. It's like I bet she was drinking on this set. Fuck, I'd be too.
Oh man, right? Read that script. You'd have to be hammered.
Well, I have a pick. I have a pick that'll probably get negative skulls for one of these podcasts in the future. Next time we go to the movies, I have one in mind. I think you'll all hate it, and I'm going to make you watch it. So,
Somebody watch something they regret. Now the rest of us get to be punished. Awesome.
Exactly. For my entertainment.
Right.
Little reverse Schadenfreude for you.
All right, well, I guess I'll start handing out skulls to this pathetic piece. If nobody has anything else they want to throw in on this. And let's see. This is hard only because it's like I want to be generous and give it at least 2 skulls, but I don't think I can do that. I really don't. I think I'm going to have to go, I'm going to have to give this one a 1.25 skulls. And the only reason it got 1 skull is because Christopher Lee's in it.
What was that going to be my rating? Like, I give the movie itself, I don't give it any skulls, but I gave it 2 skulls because I enjoy everything Christopher Lee does.
He said, as a movie,
like I said
no
earlier,
skulls.
The movie itself got no skulls. Meatballs, but it gets two because Christopher Lee is in it and he's good in everything. Like you said, why you want to go to the observatory? I don't. Like, yes. So Christopher Lee got two skulls for this movie.
That's awesome. That's great.
Fair enough.
SJ, what are you giving this shitstorm?
You know what? I'm gonna buck the trend. I'm gonna give this 2.5 skulls. I'm gonna give it 2.5 skulls. I'm being very generous, but it's one of those so bad it's good ones. And I really do want to do a riff tracks on this one, like a Mystery Science Theater, commentary on it. It's just made for it.
It is.
It gets one skull for Christopher Lee, and it gets another skull for that tarantula scene.
Oh my god! I forgot about that. Good lord, that was the cheesiest shit I have ever seen.
And the other half of my skull rating, I did give it 2.5, right? Did I say that?
Yeah.
One skull for Chris Lee, one skull for the tarantula scene, and half a skull for
the black guy.
Yeah. Don't look at its eyes.
Don't look at the eyes.
The one that hypnotized me. God.
Right. And the little mini Baphomet on the rug, right. And all the punching scenes. it kept me entertained and laughing. So 2.5.
2.5 skulls. What are you giving?
I'm giving it a 1.
A 1 skull.
1 skull.
Wah, 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 wah.
Reminds me of the match game 77. This movie was so bad. How bad was it?
It's amazing. It's got 7 out of 10 stars on IMDb. Like, I almost want to pull up. Can I pull up Rotten Tomatoes and see what it got? Because my computer's being stupid. I can't. I wonder what Rotten Tomatoes it has. Like,
I wonder what the audience score versus the critic consensus is for this one. I'm going to bet that it's got really good critical reviews and really bad audience reviews.
Yeah, I'd have to say
that sounds fair.
I mean, given that it got 7 out of 10, I mean, it barely got 2 fucking skulls on this podcast.
Right?
Oh man, that was good. That was fun. So we covered. Mine was the Devil Rides Out, 1968. Mrs. Dredge did The Lodger, based pretty much on Jack the Ripper. That came out in 1944. And then Dom Pick, 2012. Would you rather watch The Devil Rides Out or stab the person next to you in the throat? I'm killing
somebody. I feel bad for whoever's sitting next to me.
Would you rather watch The Devil Rides Out or Die, Die, My Darling?
Devil Rides Out over and over again before I watch that piece of shit again.
What if you had to watch it like Dude in Clockwork Orange with your eyes held open so you can't blink and you can't stop it and get through it in 2 or 3 settings? It's commitment.
Yeah.
Damn, I really have to see this movie.
You could torture terrorists like that. So bad.
And then we had Castle Freak, which was SJ's pick. And all the picks other than my own, I enjoyed. I enjoyed all the movies. They got gave them some. They got some love here tonight in the Insane Asylum. Yeah, I hear the white coats, so we all know what the fuck that means.
Goodbye, world.
Playtime's over.
Playtime's over, right? Time to get medicated.
Yay!
Sounds good to me.
All right. Thank you, Dom, for coming back and going to the movies with us. Thank you, Mrs. Dredge, as well, for hopping in and going to the movies with us. And, of course, every other week, you got to listen to me and SJ ramble back and forth. So this is a good This is a nice little break. I enjoyed it. We'll be doing this again soon. And again, if you guys have a movie, whether if it's a shitty movie, we don't care. We like horror movies. We'll watch them. We may not talk highly of them, but, you know, and we may, it may take us 4 or 5 times to get through it. Ain't that right, Dom?
It seems to be. One every time.
Man. It's just, yeah. Oh, the agony.
SJ already told us he's got one lined up.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be at least 2 times to get through this one. Maybe 3.
Oh, my. So, But you know, you can send us an email. Again, nightlivingdreads with no A, nightlivingdreads@gmail.com. You can also, there's a little discuss feature, a little chat under each and every podcast on the episode pages over there at nightlivingdreads.com. You can toss us a suggestion there. You can throw something in over there at Night Living Dreads on Facebook, and let us know there. Throw us your suggestions. We'll paw through them, and if we'll decide which ones we're gonna do. And if we don't get enough, well, I guess we're picking our own. We're trying to get some listener participation involved here. So, with that being said, again, thank you guys. Next week we are revisiting and doing a part 2 of a podcast that me and Mrs. Dredge did, discussing the validity of ghosts. Are ghosts real? We're going to talk more on that. And Dom, you are always welcome to. I know you know we've done some paranormal things and whatnot, and I know you dig into that, and we've had some experiences at a place we visited there in PA, so you're all more than welcome to join in as well. But if not, it will be me and SJ talking our ghost reel part 2, because SJ's got some shit that he wants to talk about. I think he's got his little opinions, and of course I've got mine. So
opinions.
What's that, brother?
They're not little opinions. They're just opinions.
Oh, okay. No, they're little.
Go fuck yourself, buddy. Right.
The belittling host. Right. Your opinions are minor. We got major ones to deal with over here.
My opinions are the only ones that matter, okay? So you just slow your roll. But yeah, and then we have some topics on the on slate for a future podcast. We start talking some more serial killers too. There's some interesting ones out there. SJ has slid me a few suggestions at we're going to look into. So, but hey, if you want to join in on our lovely conversation, our Ghost Reel Part 2, that'll be next week. I want to thank you guys for listening. And once more, thank everybody here in the Insane Asylum. And hey, we'll see you next week.
Things no one knows. We're going to die.